This is Vandana Shiva, and you're listening to the Enviro Show. Remember, listen to your mother.
Greetings, Earthlings. It's a Forest R Essential Enviro Show. I am one of your co-hosts, Dio, and I am not in the studio with...
Yeah, this is Glenn Forest Ayers.
Yes, Glenn Forest Ayers. As we have mentioned on the show previously, the Massachusetts Sierra Club's official chapter campaign to end logging on public lands of the Quabbin, Wachusett, and Ware watersheds is up and running. And we continue to be excited and supportive of this. And the legislation on Beacon Hill, that would be H952, an act relative to watershed forest protection. So contact your legislators about the forest protection team's priority bills. The link is right there on the top of the blog. John Hurst from Massachusetts Sierra Club's forest protection team joins us for updates, like the recent presentation, and there's a link to that as well. All right, how about the classic Enviro Show quote of the week? It'll take us to our interview. Okay, this one's a classic. You cannot do a kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late. And that's the classic from Ralph Waldo Emerson, one of our Massachusetts greats. And that takes us to our interview, Glenn.
All right. On this show, we're interviewing John Hurst from the Sierra Club Massachusetts chapter, and he's active with the Sierra Club's forest protection team. And we're going to be talking with him about this effort where a lot of listeners should get involved. I believe this is the most winnable campaign I've ever heard of, in that there ought to be like 3.1 million people screaming, demanding that these lands that we're going to talk about be protected, because it's their water supply, their drinking water, for 3.1 million people. And it's under assault by the people at the state agencies that are supposed to be protecting forests, but instead they're selling off the trees on our public lands for private profit. That's all it's about. So let's get into that interview with John. All right. Today on the Enviro Show, we are joined by John Hurst, who is one of our Massachusetts Sierra Club organizers. And John, welcome to the show. Today we're going to talk about the Sierra Club's campaign around protecting the water supplies, mostly focused on the Quabbin, Ware River, and Wachusett watersheds. Slowly starting, but it's in full swing now. I just attended a presentation a couple of nights ago that was great. It really went into a lot of the detail about why we need to protect the water supplies. And in this case, it's mostly land that's managed by the Department of Conservation and Recreation, DCR. And a big part of the complaints that we have is that that agency is conducting widespread commercial logging in those water supply protection areas for the drinking water for over 3 million people. So, John, if you would introduce yourself, tell us what you do at the Sierra Club, and then tell us about the forest protection team at the Sierra Club, and we'll get into the details about the campaign to protect the water supplies for a huge part of the population in Massachusetts, especially in the eastern part of the state. And then we'll talk about how folks can get involved with that campaign and what actions they can take to help secure the permanent protection of these forested areas that not only supply water, but have so many other benefits to the public, to the earth, to wildlife, to biodiversity, and the climate. So, John, welcome to the show.
All right. Thank you. My name is John Hurst. I'm a resident of Feeding Hills, Massachusetts. I've been a Sierra Club volunteer since about May of 2023. Initially, I went through the Outings Leader Program training, and I've been conducting outings about 3 or 4, maybe sometimes a little bit more a year. In addition to that, I joined the Forest Protection Team back, I want to say, at the end of 2023 or early 2024. That team consists of, oh gosh, I want to say probably about a dozen people on an active basis. And the team is basically charged with forest protection advocacy throughout the state. One of the things that the team got involved with was to launch a campaign about 18 months ago related to the Quavon, Ware, and Wachusett's watershed public forests. And the campaign was, in essence, involved with trying to protect those watershed lands from logging and recognizing how significant an asset that is to the state.
Let's talk a little bit about what the campaign is focused on as far as these watershed areas.
Sure. So one of the things I would like to point out is that this campaign was picked because of basically the value of the watershed forests that are surrounding these three areas. There are well over 100,000 acres that are in the central and western part of the state. They represent mature forests that, if they're allowed to not be actively managed, they would, you know, basically turn into old growth. They are the result of basically a project that took place back in the 1930s to dam the Swift River. And as a result, like 4 towns were disincorporated, people were moved, and buildings were razed, etc. But that area became the Quavon Reservoir. There is also a tunnel that leads over through the Ware River area and then into the Wachusett's. And as you mentioned earlier, that feeds, you know, a water supply to the greater Boston area of over 3 million people. And the water is reliable and clean. This area was selected because of not only is it mature forest, but and the fact that it could become old growth, but it also provides, you know, significant biodiversity habitat. And right now, it is a wildlife corridor that runs from southern New England all the way up into northern New England or the Canadian border. It acts as a huge carbon sink. And this is above and beyond the fact that it's providing a huge supply of clean and reliable water to the greater Boston area predominantly. Logging is not good for this area. Its impact on the soils is significant. And as you had mentioned, the area is intensively logged. The state claims that, you know, they're logging 1% of the land. But, you know, if you add that up over time, 10% of the area is logged every 10 years, and you can do the math from there. What we're trying to do is basically turn this area into a reserve or preserves where passive management, that is, let the area remain intact with basically minimal human intervention and realize the benefits that can happen once it goes from mature to an old growth forest.
John, one of the things that I've often heard the Quavon area, which is about almost or maybe more than 90,000 acres of state-owned land. The state has been acquiring this land over decades to protect the water supply feeding into the reservoir, which was created by damming the Swift River. And one of the things that I've heard it referred to as is the accidental wilderness, because like you said, they obliterated or disincorporated 9 communities, 9 towns, actually, that are now underwater, essentially. Many of the houses were moved, the cemeteries were moved, all of the people were displaced. And that happened, like you said, back in the 1920s and 30s. Then the land was essentially left alone because it was recovering from, you know, past inhabitation by Europeans mostly, because the native people had been driven off the land by that time. So it became what was referred to as the accidental wilderness. But I know from all the time that I've spent in wilderness areas, both here in New England and in the Adirondacks and out west, especially in the Rockies, that wilderness is not a place where they do commercial logging. The wilderness areas are set aside to preserve them permanently. And so my question was, how can we have an accidental wilderness, but then go in and start logging, like you said, 1 or 2% of the acreage every year? And well, if you do the math, then you realize that in 50 years, you've logged pretty much everything, and then you just start over again. So you'll always have a immature forest, which is what we have now, just approaching. If the trees were left alone, they'd just be getting to be around 100 years old now. Maybe some of them that were growing in the 1930s now are more than 100 years old. But I think what I'm trying to get at here is the plan to have an accidental wilderness is right now being thwarted or being overturned by the fact to have non-accidental timber sales and extraction from this land on a very, very heavy planned basis, ongoing every year, cutting down ever more trees. And essentially, they're just cutting down the old trees because they've gotten to an age now, about 100 years old or more, where they're very valuable, especially in the international wood market. There are no industries here locally that are taking that wood and making it into furniture or other things that are used locally. All the trees get shipped up into Canada or out into the ports to go into the international wood market. And so the point I think I want to make is that the accidental wilderness is now intentionally becoming a tree farm. The state is intentionally cutting down the trees, like you said, to keep them from becoming mature and old growth, because then there's a policy in place that they're not supposed to be cutting old growth trees. But currently in Massachusetts, we have less than 0.1% of the forests are actually old growth. And this, you know, 120,000 acre area could be the largest old growth area by far in southern New England, if we could get the state to stop cutting down all the old trees. That's what I'm very interested in. I want to be able to go to a wilderness area right here in Massachusetts. Instead, I have to travel 5 hours to go out to the Adirondacks to visit a wilderness area, or I have to go up north into Vermont or over into New Hampshire to find any designated wilderness. So why can't we have wilderness in Massachusetts? And why won't the state plan for that because of all the benefits that would be supplied to the communities around here if we had a big wilderness area? Like, think of it like a national park. And what would the Sierra Club say to having some kind of designation like that, that this area would be similar to a national park?
The Sierra Club is in favor of that. This campaign is intent is to take these watershed, you know, public forests and lands and turn them into a preserve or reserves, as, you know, as you noted. And, you know, using like the wildlands definition of what a reserve would be. As you're well aware, the governor issued a logging contracts moratorium. And then that led to the Forests as Climate Solutions Initiative. One of the key things that came out of that is they convened a committee of scientific experts with regards to forest ecology. It also had other members on there that were tied to the state and the forest industry. And that committee came out with a series of recommendations on how to take into consideration climate recommendations when it comes to forestry. The committee, in some areas, they agreed or reached a consensus. Other areas, there was a significant disagreement on how to take approaches. And there's been statements that Sierra Club has noted where the Division of Water Supply Protection, which basically runs the Quabbin, Ware, and Wachusett Reservoir System and the lands around it, basically admitted that you don't need to log in order to ensure the quality of water coming through the system and being fed to communities to the east. However, the committee, as a result of not reaching a consensus, noted that there's probably going to have to be passive and active management on some type of a continuum. But they did agree that reserves are important and they want to reach a goal of 10%. And in areas where they are doing active management, they're tying it to resiliency related to climate and other factors that can be seen as threats to the forest. Nevertheless, the chapter feels that it's really important to try to turn the watershed forest in this area into a reserve or reserves and or parks.
John, this is Dio here. I have a question. I know DCR, what we call on the RARO show, the Department of Cut and Run, have a lot of euphemisms that they use. You know, we've walked through some of those Quabbin clear cuts in the past. And back then, one of the euphemisms was patch cuts. Then we found in those patch cuts, which were well over several acres, there were vernal springs that had been trashed and stone walls, historic stone walls that had been destroyed. And I always wondered, who's supposed to monitor this? And I know that there's a lot of frustration amongst you in the forest protection team about this. So I wonder if you could get to the piece of legislation that's presently up on Beacon Hill regarding this.
Sure. There's actually like four bills that are related to forest protection. The one that is tied in to this campaign that we've talked about is called House 952. And it's an act relative to the watershed forest protection. And in there, the intent is to basically permanently preserve the lands that are around this, the watershed, the Quabbin, Ware, and Wachusett. And it's over, well over 100,000 acres. At one point, I think I've seen numbers as high as like over 125,000 acres. The intent is to protect them as parks or reserves. That bill was introduced and it was referred to the Environment Committee to be reviewed. In addition to that, there is another bill that is called House 953, and that's also a forest protection bill that's related to all the lands that are under the control of DCR. And again, putting them in as reserves, that represents about 311,000 acres. And then the last bill that's kind of in this triad is called House Bill 1048. And that's an act relative to increasing the protection of wildlife management areas that are under control of the Department of Fish and Game. And the intent would be to place 30% of the land controlled by that department into reserves. When you take them all together, you're looking at well north of 462,000 acres that could be potentially put into protection as parks and reserves. Right now, the amount of land that's actually protected at an adequate level is only about 1% of the land's total base. The last environmental bill is an environmental justice bill. And this is Senate 553 and House 1013. And what it does is it recognizes the importance of urban trees that support urban habitat and then provide many benefits to people that are living in urban areas. There's been a lot written about this, but people who live in urban areas without adequate tree canopy coverage are in like heat islands. So they have extreme heat. And with that, there's related disorders. The quality of the air and the water is poor. They're subject to flash flooding. And without any type of tree cover, there is increased crime that's related to that. And what this particular bill would do is it would provide funding to help cities and towns that have low canopy coverage to increase the number and quality of trees in these areas. So those are the four bills that we're watching. And we have, as part of our campaign, we're asking people to contact their legislators and tell them to go ahead and support these bills, again, with the emphasis on H-952, which is protecting the watershed forests.
John, I've been following this. Well, we've been following it on the Enviro Show for a number of years and following this forest protection effort. And one of the things that I'll note is you did a pretty good job of explaining that the Healey administration actually took this seriously and did provide this kind of Forest Climate Committee report. And yet, since that report came out, seems like it's been more than a year, the administration has not designated a single acre of reserve, as far as I know, permanent protection. They have not established any permanently protected areas. The moratorium has been over for a year now. And yet they just spent in December, they just allocated about $5 million to create reserves on private property. And that was with a 50% match. So really, they're talking about spending $10 million on protecting a total of just a little over 1,400 acres. $10 million to protect 1,400 acres as permanent reserves. And those are across the Commonwealth, from east to west. However, we have here around the Quabbin and in these other two watersheds, the largest contiguous state-owned property in southern New England. And yet the state government, because of these rogue agencies like the DCR and DFW or Mass Wildlife, these agencies are so opposed to actually protecting the forest, which is their mission, by the way, that they refuse to designate a single acre of land as permanently protected. And I'm just wondering, how can our listeners join this fight? Because it is a fight. We're fighting against the actual agencies that are supposed to be managing these lands. How can we get people involved in this effort to permanently protect this land? Because honestly, to my way of thinking, this is a no-brainer. It actually costs absolutely nothing to permanently protect the land that we already own, that the state already owns, that actually the people of the Commonwealth already own this land. We bought it over many decades with tax money, and we own it, and yet we can't get the state to designate a single acre as permanently protected. So what do we need to do? How can people get involved? How can they find out more about the Forest Protection Team, this campaign? Where can they go? And what's it going to take to actually get the administration to do the right thing, which in this case is to permanently protect all of this land?
What people need to do is they need to contact their legislators and, in particular, get as much feedback into legislators throughout the Commonwealth about the importance of passing H-952. Once the legislation, if you can get it out of committee and get into, you know, the Ways and Means, there's, as you pointed out, there really isn't any funding that's necessary to do this. But if you can get this passed as a law, amending existing statute, then that would basically, the state would have to abide. In addition to that, we're asking people to sign our petition. Right now, we have about 1,000 signatures. We'd obviously like to get, I think we have a target of 5,000. But at some point, we are going to take these petitions and present them to the governor and possibly Secretary Tepper. And in addition to that, we are trying to basically be doing tabling at events throughout the Commonwealth where we will be, you know, discussing and handing out brochures. And then also we've been asking people that have attended the meeting a couple of days ago to come out to these outings and walk in these places and understand how beautiful and how valuable they are. And, you know, that they're a rich area that's very worthy of preserving. In addition to that, I have witnessed, I've gone into areas like I know you have, Glenn, after they've done cutting. And I went to an area in January that they kind of rushed through and did a cut. And it was, if it was a patch cut, it was pretty appalling to see the mess that was left there. Now, they may have cleaned it up, but witnessing things like that can also move people into taking action. But at this point, it's the legislation that I think is the key, because as you pointed out, the state on its own is not going to make significant changes without public pressure. We've tried through public comments to make changes to logging proposals, but comments go in and nothing comes back out. It's like it's not a bi-directional feedback as to what's going on regarding logging proposals. The other thing that I would say is that we are trying to hold DCR and the other departments to account when it comes to implementing the Climate Forestry Committee recommendations. And we had sent a letter back in February to the Assistant Secretary for Environmental Policy. His name is Kurt Gartner. And what we did is we took a look at the state's implementation plan. And in there's a bunch of actions and timelines as to when they're supposed to be completed. And we asked for basically a progress report or an update as to where they are, because we haven't seen or heard anything since that implementation plan came out. Yet yesterday, we actually met with Kurt Gardner and one of his, her name is Mary Cordwell. She's like a strategic manager there that works underneath him. And then we also enlisted the support of Senator Joe Comerford, who represents Hampshire, Franklin, and Worcester counties. And she's been an advocate and a supporter of forest protection bills and, initiatives. So she was there as well. And then a smaller group from the forest protection team. The things that we discussed during that hour, we spent a lot of time talking about reserves. As you noted, Glenn, they did talk about these grants, these first round of grants, where they went in and acquired like about 1,500 acres for reserves. But we did ask them, well, what is the state doing to try to designate reserves on DCR, DWSP, and DFW public holdings, or, you know, their lands? And we were told that the Forest Reserve Scientific Advisory Committee is in charge with basically making sure that reserves are designated. They are working on a document right now where they've defined them, what the reserves are. They're coming up with what type of management would be necessary within the reserves, and then what's the criteria for designating them. When we asked for a timeline on that, when are they going to start designating these reserves on public lands? They pointed back to the Executive Order 618, which is on biodiversity goals. And those goals are supposed to be published, I guess, in the early summer. So that's pacing, you know, at this point, designating any reserves under DFW. And as far as DCR and DWSP is concerned, what we were told is that they are using biologists and other staff to go off and take a look at potential reserve sites and confirm what the lands look like. But we didn't get a timeline as to when that was going to happen. And then the last thing that we talked about is the codification of reserves. And apparently that legislation has been drafted and it's going to be part of the environmental bond bill. So that's basically the extent of what we got out of reserves. We also talked about dashboards and other items. So we have been trying to hold the state accountable. And Kurt did say that they will be responding in detail to our letter beyond having this meeting. And we will probably see that later this spring.
John, I'm curious to know how Senator Comerford came out of the meeting, what she thought about it.
She left like right away, so we did not have a chance to like huddle up with her afterwards, to be honest with you. So, but she made a couple of comments, but by and large, she was in a listening mode.
Well, I'll say, John, that I'm not reassured that the state is doing anything at this point, and I'm certainly not going to hold my breath waiting for them to designate areas. I think this requires some organizing, some activism, advocacy, and that's what the Forest Protection Team is focusing on. And so I recommend that listeners go to the Massachusetts chapter of the Sierra Club website and look for the Forest Protection Team. It's listed as one of the projects or activities, and then, you know, join that team and get involved. It's going to take a lot of people raising hell to get the state to do anything because of the really, really vested interests involved in maintaining the status quo. That's what this is about. This is about the trees now are valuable, and there's a lot of private operators who want to rip off the public. That's what this is all about. So I'm going to suggest that folks stick your nose into this issue if you're interested in forest protection and get involved with this campaign. And we'll put links on the EnviroShow blog to direct people to that. Right. And I'll just say in closing, John, I really want to thank the work that this Sierra Club Forest Protection Team has been doing. Yes. And hopefully we will have some traction when it comes to the hearing for this proposed legislation, which is going to be before the Joint Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. The hearing is not scheduled yet, so you know we'll alert people when that hearing comes up, and then we need to show up, and we need to really have a large, loud voice about the need to permanently protect these critical areas of publicly owned lands. Thanks so much for everything that you're doing, leading these hikes. I've been on several hikes with you. They're great, and I know you have one coming up pretty soon in the Quabbin, and I hope the folks get out there and see this firsthand and then also get involved.
Yeah, I completely agree. I do believe that this bill, H-952, is something that is a lot more achievable than in the past. I know that this is like the fourth time around with these forest protection bills, but it seems reachable. But to your point, we need to make our voices heard en masse and let legislators know how important this is. The one thing I will say is the number of petitioners that have signed on to this bill is significant.
Yeah. All right, John Hurst, thanks so much for being on the show and keep up the great work. And we will continue to check in on this campaign to permanently protect the watershed forests around the Quabbin, Ware River, and Wachusett reservoirs.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, we are back. What'd you think of that, Glenn?
This is a great campaign and something that folks can really plug into. And I'm hoping that a lot of people will get involved. And like I said, we need to make noise. It's going to take all of us raising our voices in unison together to send a message to our legislators and to these corrupt agencies. I mean, we're dealing with totally corrupt, self-serving agencies like the Massachusetts DCR, the Department of Cut and Run. And that's what they do. They cut the forest and then they run over to the next forest and cut that down. And so we really need to raise some hell. So check out the EnviroShow blog, click on some of those links and sign up and get involved and follow this issue. And together we can do this, but it's going to take all of us working together.
That's right.
And I guess the only thing left to say, folks, is that we need to all remember
to listen to your mother. This is Dio saying adios.
And this is Glenn Forest Plastic Brain Ayres. and get active, folks. Get outside, enjoy nature, and give them hell. Take care.
I am Mother Earth, and I approve of this message.